To Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis, the two dots in the middle of the page. We learned in the Mishnah, Ish Mekadesh Es Bito. A father has the yad to be Mekabel Kiddushin on behalf of his daughter. Shalom Idaita. As long as she's a Nara. Now the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Masechet Gittin on the same topic. Tanan Hotsom Naira Hamurasa Hi Via Via Mekablim Es Gita. Not regarding Kedushin, which is the subject of our Mishnah, but let's compare it to the law of Gittin in Masechet Gittin. And there it says that a Nara Hamurasa, meaning her father accepted Kedushin on her behalf, and now the Mekadesh wants to divorce her, and there are two options. Either he can give the get to the father and effectuate gerushin shalom midas ha'isha, or the reverse. He can give the get to the isha without the das, without the idea of the father. Again, when I say das, we're not really talking about das, because ha'isha misgareshes bal korcha. So the only thing you can talk about here in Gerushin is not Das, but Yedia. And basically what the Tanakhama is maintaining here, we'll soon see the Rabbi Yehuda argues, is that there are two Yodayim for Kabbalah's Get. There's the Yad Ha'av, and there's the Yad of the Bas herself, the Isha herself. And the Torah recognizes both of them. Now, the fact that an Isha, a Bas, can receive her own get, that's explicit in the Pasuk. In Ki Teitzei it says, V'nasan b'yad, in the parasha of Gerushin. However, the father, since he has rights to be Mekadesh her, then by virtue of the Hekesh, Havaya Liyatsiya, he has rights in Mekabel Haget. Now, I don't know if the additional Yad that the Torah grants, the Torah recognizes of the Nara herself, the Bas herself, is an extension of the Yad of the father. He's the primary Yad. Or no, to the same extent that he has a yad, the Torah gave her a yad, v'nasam b'yada. And that's going to be the subject of the Gemara later on. But what we're focused on now is Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, Rabbi Yehuda, ein shtei yodayim zochos ke'achas. Rabbi Yehuda does not recognize the possibility that you could have two Yodayim that operate each one simultaneously. Two alternative, competitive Yodayim, so to speak. And since the Torah gave the Av, the primary rights, to be Mekadesh and Isha, then his rights to accept Gerushin are also primary. And if Ein Shtei Yodayim Zochos Ka'achas, and one Yad has to knock off the other, then it's going to be the Yad Ha'av that supplants the Yad Ha'isha. And the Gemara in Masechet Gittin on Daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis explains this machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara explains that the Tanakhama holds that Yada Yeserta Zachila Rachmana, the Torah gave her, the Bas, an additional Yad on top of that of the father. Rabbi Yehuda Samar B'makom Avia Yadila Lav Klumu. Okay, Venasam B'yada, that's in a case where she's the only, the sole Yad. But we don't read Venasam B'yada in the situation where the father has the Yad. So whereas Chachamim hold that the Torah granted the Bas in Kabbalah's get an additional Yad, that's above and beyond the Yad of the father, Rabbi Yehuda holds that since the Torah was Mezakeh the father with the Yad for Kabbalah's get, it therefore nullifies the Yad of the Bas. Of course, this opinion or halacha of Rabbi Yehuda operates as long as the father is alive. If the father is gone, then Rabbi Yehuda agrees that insofar as she's a Naira, she's mature enough to receive her own get. So clearly the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda is limited to the period of time in which the father is alive. Also keep in mind that we're talking about an Arusa. Had she been a Nesua, if the Baal, before he divorced her, took her into his wife, into the Chuppah, that would completely eliminate the Yad Ha'av, in which case everyone would agree that we're left with her Yad and only her Yad. So there are two scenarios in which Rabbi Yehuda would agree that she is granted her own independent Yad, that's when the father dies, or after Nisuin. Now the Mishnah adds something with regard to a Ketana. This is the Mishnah in Gittin. V'chol she'ein yechola lishmar is Gita, which means that she doesn't understand the value of the get, the meaning of the get. She's not going to protect the get. That's called Shmira. Understanding its value to prove, to establish that she's divorced. Is any yechol is garish. And the implication here is that there's an absolute exclusion of gerishin, meaning even the father does not have a yad in such a case. The father could have a yad if she, his daughter, is old enough to be shomeres as gita. But, and then that could extend even up till the age, the status of a bogeres. However, if the Ketana is so young that she doesn't appreciate what the get is all about, the Torah says, v'shilcha mibeso, which means mishalcha, he sends her out, v'yena chozeres. She understands, she appreciates what that means. She doesn't come back to her husband's house thinking that she's still married. But in a case of eni yodas lishmar, she's too immature, then she's yotza, mishalcha, v'chozeres, and she comes back in. However, what I presented until now is the sheet of Rashi. There are other Rishonim who are of the opinion, based on a Yerushalmi, that once a Ketana has a father, by definition, she's considered Mishalcha V'Eina Chozeres, meaning her father is the one who has not only the Yad, but he also is Shomeres as Gita. And he understands that she, his daughter, no longer goes back to her husband's house, her husband's rishus. And therefore, the intention here is not that she, as an Eino Yodas Lishmar's Gita, is excluded from Gerishin. She cannot be Mekabel her own get. And if she has no father, there's no possibility of gerushin. But if her father receives her get on her behalf, then that get is valid because the father himself will be Mishamar's Gita and make sure she doesn't return to the house of her ex. That's according to other Rishonim, Tosfos and Gittin, the Ramban, the Rashba and Gittin. But Rashi's opinion is, no, if she's any Yechol Lishmar's Gita, is any Yechol is Garish, period, Klal. But now we get to the heart of the matter as far as we're concerned. We began with our Mishnah in the second parak of Kiddush, and we want to know whether or not the Nara, insofar as she's still in her father's Rishus, Benurei Beis Avia, whether she has a Yad to be Makabel Ha Kiddush. Now that would only be a question according to the Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda and Gittin. According to Rabbi Yehuda, in Gittin is Ein Shtei Yodayim Zochos Kachas, and since the father has the Yad for Kiddushin of Bito Nara, then certainly she has no Yad. But what about according to the Chacham? That's going to be the subject of a Machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish is going to assume an equation between Gittin and Kiddushin, which really is just another expression of what we call Hukah Shavai L'Yitzia. And Reish Lakish is going to be very emphatic about this. K'machlokas l'gerushin, kach machlokas l'kiddushin. To the same extent, the Chachamim recognize the coexistence of two Yodayim in Gerushin, in Kabbalah's Get, so too they recognize the coexistence, the overlap, if you will, of two Yodayim l'inyan Kabbalah's Kiddushin, and she, the Nara, could be Makabelas Kiddusheha, with or without her father. And basically, Reish Lakish is simply applying the principle and the logic of the Chachamim in Get to Kiddushin, extending it. But Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Machlokes L'Gerushin, Aval L'Kiddushin, Divri Akol Avia Velohi. The Chachamim, says Rabbi Yochanan, would agree in the case of Kiddushin that there's only one Yad. If the Torah gave the Yad, Torah was Mazaka, the father with the Yad, as far as Kabbalah's Kiddushin is concerned, which is Lesman de Polig, then Lesman de Polig, even the Chacham, would have to agree that the Yad of the father with Kiddushin is exclusive, and it undermines the Yad of the Nara to be Makabel's Kiddushin. Again, if the father is gone, or if she already was outside the Rishus of the father, like, for example, after Nisuin, that's a different story. But as long as she's in the Rishus of her father, then even the Chacham, nobody disagrees with the principle of Ein Shtei Yadayim Zochos Ke'achas. Now the Gemara is going to embark upon an analysis of the chiluk, of the distinction that Rabbi Yochanan is making, according to the Chachamim, between Gittin and Kiddushin. The Gemara is going to offer two approaches. Omer Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, my time at the Rabbi Yochanan, I'll leave it to Rabbanon. Why does Rabbi Yochanan postulate a distinction between Kiddushin in the Chachamim, she to wear two Yadayim, she can operate independent of the father to accept her get, as opposed to Kiddushin? There it's exclusively the father's Yad for Kabbalah's Kiddushin. And the answer is, Gerushin d'machneses atzma l'rshus avia, bein hi ubein avia. The yesod ha-yesodos of Shitas Chachamim in Gerushin, to recognize not only the father's Yad to be Makabel to get, but her Yad to be Makabel to get, is because it's all working in the best interest of the father. The get itself brings her back into the Rishus of the father. Again, we're talking about our Erisin before Nisuin. After the get, she, the Bas, goes back into the Rishus of her father. Kiddushin, on the other hand, demafkas atzma mirshus avia, just the opposite. The effect of kiddushin is that she's on her way, at least, I guess we'd have to say, to leave the father's rishus. She's what we call omeres li nase, omeres li nesuin. And with nesuin, she completely severs her relationship in an irreversible way with her father. It's the yitzia mirshus ha'av li gamre. It's therefore the kiddushin, which is the first step to be mafkia, the father, the rishus, the father, is considered antithetical, or if you will, operating against the best interests of her father. And therefore the Chachomim would agree to Rabbi Yehuda that ein shtei yodayim zochus kachas. We cannot assume that she has her own independent yad that works against the fundamental primary yad, which is the yad of the father. Now, one question that comes to mind here is, what would be if the Nara would accept Kiddushin, and the father, as it turns out, is happy with it, you know, he gives his approval? Would we say there's an issue here of Lamafrey or not? So the language of the Chazon Ish is quoted here in the footnote is, Ein HaKavanah Shem HaBas Mekabelos Es Kiddushin, Zeu mikoach ha'av ubishlichuso. You could have said that har kabbalas kiddushin works on behalf of father. He's happy with it. After all, he himself wants to get her married off. But the father doesn't want her to accept kiddushin. But if lu yitzur, he would be okay with that idea, then she could serve as a yad to be makal kiddushin. That's rejected by the Chazon Ish. Habir hu shatorah zichsoli av zuchuyos pebito bechlol anatzchus lekabel es kiddusheha and lo tuchali nasei shalomi daito. There's no such thing as zoch in the odom shalom befonov here. She cannot be a self-appointed shliach acting on behalf of her father to accept her own kiddushin. In the case of Gerishin, the father is not interested at all. He doesn't have any kapeid, any objection. But in the case of Kiddushin, the very theoretical objection of the father, we don't know if it's actual, is enough to establish, it's a gili milsa, or a rayal adover, that she doesn't have a yad to be makabal ha Kiddushin. So according to Chazon Ish, the way I understand it, and please check me out on this, is that it's irrelevant to what the father says later on. She simply does not have a yad to be mekabelas kiddushel. And the reason for that is because kiddushin essentially is mafkia mirshus avia. And now the Gemara is going to reject this approach to Rabbi Yochanan in the Shitas Chachomim, the approach of Rabbi Yossi for Rabbi Hanina that she's mafkas as atzma, from the case of Maimar. Maimar is a case of a woman who is married to a brother, one of many brothers, or one of two brothers. Her husband dies, leaving her childless, or at least he has no children, I should say. And she falls for yibum to her brother-in-law. Now, according to Torah law, the way to clinch the relationship, the zika between the Yavama and the Yavam, is through Bia. What happens if the Yavam is Makadishar with a Maisa Kiddushin? On the Torah level, that's not recognized. There's only one possibility, and that's Bia. Yavama Yava Aleha, the Yibma. But here's a case where a yavam gave his yavama a pruta, shava pruta, in front of two edim, harayat mekudeshesli, and that's called kedushay maimar, which are validated by the chachamim. They recognize that kedushin as kedushin, and therefore they require a get in order to break up that kedushin. Now, would it be that Maimar would be meaningful in the case of a Nara? So let's say she became an Almana Mina Erusin. She was only an Arusa to the Arus. He died. She fell for Yibum. She's still Birshus Avia. And if she accepts Kiddushin, which we call Kiddushay Maimar, from the Yavam, in that case, she's working to be Mafkia herself from the Rishus of the father. She's that much closer to marrying the Yavam and completely and irreversibly leaving the Rishus of the father. And yet, we're going to prove that the halacha recognizes that maimar. Vare maimar, the Gemara asks, demefkas atzma rishus avia usnan, and yet we learned in a Mishnah. And here we're turning to daf mem dalet omer aleph, ktana mina erusin ein osin ba maimar elamidas avia. The maimar requires the agreement of her father, because since she was only a Nara, she hasn't yet left the Rishus of her father through Nisu and through Chuppah. The father is still the Yad. The Torah was Mezakim with the Yad of Kiddushin. But yet now, it's a case of a Ketana. Ketana means that she doesn't have das at all. So therefore the maimar is meaningless. The only one who could supply das for this maimar substituting for kiddushin would be the father. Van Naira, the Mishnah continues. So again, we're talking about a Naira who was married to someone, her father married her off, Lomazogin, and now she became an almana, her husband died, she falls for Yibum, the Yavam gives her kiddushe maimar. Is here the Mishnah says, Bein midas atzma ubein midas avia. The maimar is meaningful whether or not she herself received the kiddushin without her father's knowledge, without his agreement, or her father received her kiddushin without her agreement. And then we're going to see Masha'en Kain be kiddushin. Those last four words will become very important later on in the sugya. In any event, the Braisa is outspoken about the fact that a Nara, even though through this Kiddushe Marmar, she's being mafkia herself from the Rishus Avia, she can receive her Kiddushin, even if the father's not interested, he's objecting. So therefore, the reason of Rabbi Yochanan could not be that Kiddushin is mafkas es atz Rishus Av, and therefore Avia v'lohi. Eliyitmar, now the Gemara reformulates the explanation of Rabbi Yochanan. Perhaps the Gemara is trying to reformulate what we understood or misunderstood in the words of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Hachi itmar. Om Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, my time with Rabbi Yochanan, I'll leave with Rabbanon. Kiddushin demidaita avia velohi. Gerishin demalkarcha bein hi ubein avia. There's a fundamental difference between Kiddushin and Gerushin. Kiddushin requires Das. Das means a full Yad to be Makabal Kiddushin. It doesn't make sense that there's a Das of the father at the same time a Das of the Naira herself, and they're at loggerheads. They're competing with each other. One Das determines and validates the Kiddushin against the will of the other Das. And therefore, since the primary zchus or rishus is that of the father, he's got the yad, is the yad avia v'lohi? You cannot have two yadayim, each one that has das. One person's das will determine. If there's another das, then they're at loggerheads. It cannot be. It's the efshel l'kayim shneim. But gerishin is anyway bal karcha. So what difference it make whether she receives her get or he receives her get? In any event, it's just a question of a physical yad without any das, because Kiddushin, Gerushin is Bal Karcha. Now the Gemara asks from the Braisa, Hare Maimer Demidaita Kitani Bein Hi Ubein Aviha. We said that in the case of Maimar, which again requires Das, for the Rabbanan to recognize the Kedushay Maimar in the case of Yavama, and we saw yet that despite the requirement of Das, the Mishnah establishes that Maimar is operative, whether she receives the Kedushin from the Yavam, or her father receives the Kedushin of the Yavam. Again, we're talking about a Naira, Shenis Armala. So you see that the Svara of Midaita is not meaningful. And even though the Kedushin on Midas, you could have two conflicting or competing Deos to Yodayim, that of the Naira herself and that of her father. So the answer is Maimer is different. Why? Because of the Sheet of Rebbe. Hasam b'maimer d'bal karcha v'rebihi. There, the case of Maimar doesn't require das at all. That's the famous shita of Rebbe. Rebbe is going to equate Maimar with Yavama, with Yibum itself, I should say. And just like Yibum is against her will, doesn't require das, so too Maimar as a substitute for Yibum, or a quasi kind of Yibum, is also against her will. Tesanya, we learned in the Braisa, Osa Maimer Vivim Tashlomi Data, Rebbe Omer Kana, V'Chachomim Omrim Lo Kana. Rebbe says that as a result of this Maimer against her will, again, it's a wild kind of case where somebody actually, this is a quiz question, when can you have someone throw Kiddushin at a woman, a Shava Kesef, if you will, and do so l'shem kiddushin, and she will require get, even though she's not in the least interested. And the answer is Rebbe Shita and Maimar, because Rebbe equates Maimar with Yibum itself, and just like Yibum is bal karcha, so too Maimar could be bal karcha. With the Chachamim say lo kana. Again, it's a difficult shita, Rebbe, to swallow. The Dvar Avram, who is an Achron, who lived in and died in the Varsha ghetto during the Holocaust, he asked, "How could it be Kedushay Maimar Bal Korcha? I mean, what Chalois Kedushay Kesef could happen if the woman is not willing to accept the Kesef?" You know, Kesef is meaningful because she makes a kinyan on the Kesef, and that kinyan Kesef effectuates a chalos, Ishus chalos kedusha, but here she refused to accept the Kesef. I mean, in Yibum, at least there's a Maisa Bia, Bal Karcha, and the Mela she's Mekudesh, but Kedushay Kesef requires a kinyan, a Zechia the Kesef. She doesn't have any interest in being Zocha the Kesef. And he comes up with a whole new pshat in Kiddushay Maimar, I'll leave it the Rebbe, Bal Korcha, that her Kiddushin is a Kiddushay Hana. She has Hana in the fact that if, let's say, this money, you know, gets lost, she doesn't have to replace it. So it's beneficial for her to own the money. A very strange kind of halacha. In any event, the Gemara says, "My time at the Rebbe, mi bia di Yavama." The Torah says, "Yavama yavo le lekochal olisha ma bia bi Yavama di Yavama bal karcha af hachinami hitu kedushe maimar." That the Yavam does is also bal karcha. Rabbanon of the opinion, savri alfinon mi kedushin. Maimar is a quasi kedushin. It should be equated with kedushin. Ma kedushin mi daita. Afachinami, so to Maimar has to be Midaita. B'maika Miflagi, what's the Soda Plukta? Rebbe Savamili Divamim be Yavama Havi Leila Melef. Let's emphasize the fact that the Halacha recognizes Maimar in the case of a Yavam, and that has to be interpreted and defined within the framework of Yibum. Rabbanan Savri Kiddushin Kiddushin Havi Leila Melech. That when the Rabbanan recognized Kiddushin, they did so within the framework of Kiddushin. And Kiddushin requires Das. The Gemara says, Hochanami Mistabra, getting back to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the Chachamim, as to why in Kiddushin the Chachamim admit that it's impossible for her, a Nara, to be Mekabelis, her own Kiddushin, against the will of her father, Kiddin Kometari, it's Rabbi Yochanan, and we should accept Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the Braisa Miktani Sefer. You remember we had in the Braisa a four-word phrase that we sort of skipped over, but I told you later on the Sugi is going to emphasize this. Masha Ein Kein B'Kiddushin. In other words, that which Maima works Bal Karcha, Bein Midas, or via Bein Midas Atzma, that's only in Maimar, in Yevama, Mashen came in Kiddushin. There is no such thing as a Das Habas, Hanaira, to supplant and replace the Das of the Father. The Braisa is therefore outspoken about the fact that in Kiddushin, only the Father can accept the Kiddushin. That's Rabbi Yochanan's understanding. So the Gemara now turns this part of the Braisa into a kasha on Reish Lakish. Ella, according to Reish Lakish, Neima Tevi Tuvta, the Reish Lakish is a Tuvta, because Reish Lakish assumes an equation between Gerushin and Kiddushin. Chachamim saying Gerushin, the Nara herself could receive her get, so too in Kiddushin, she can receive her own Kiddushin. What does it mean, Mashen Kebe Kiddushin? Amalei Reish Lakish, Hamani, who's the author of that Braisa? Rav Yehudi Diomar, Ein Shtei Yodayim Zochos Kachas. We could have guessed this answer, because the paradigm case of the paradigm case is the Machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda in Gerushin. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that Ein Shtei Yodayim Zochos Kiachas. How much more so in Kiddushin? And Reish Lakish understands that the Braisa that says that in Kiddushin there's no such thing as Bal Karcha, there's no such thing as her being Mekabelis Kiddushin Bal Karcha, the father, that's a reflection of Rabbi Yehuda, who says the father's Yad on the mind's Hayad. Oh, the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yehuda, if you're telling me the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda, what do you mean Mashen came b'kiddushin? It should have said Mashen came b'gerushin miboyle. I mean, that's the primary case is gerushin, and Rabbi Yehuda argues in gerushin, and he holds that even where there is halacha balkarcha and there's no din of das, nevertheless ain't shtei yadayim zochos kachas. It would have been more appropriate, more of a chiddush, to tell me that in Gerushin itself, where there is no requirement of Das for Kabbalas HaGet, nevertheless, Ein Shtei Yodayim Zochos Ki Achas, that would be the bigger Chiddush. Ein Achinami, the Gemara says, yes, the Braisa would have told us that Chiddush, but I did the Toni Maimer, did Domil Kiddushin, Toni Nami, Mashen Kibbe Kiddushin, since the subject here is Kiddushin, Maimer, therefore, Mashen came by Kiddushin, to tell us that in Kiddushin, there's no possibility of her accepting the Kiddushin with her own independent Yad against the will of the father. But Enochinami, the source of it all, the paradigm is Gerushin, Ein Shtei Yodayim Zochos Kachas. Now the Gemara asks Rabbi Yehuda, Maishna Maimar, why is it that in the case of Maimar, we have a fundamental difference between Kiddushin and Gerushin? In Maimar, it says explicitly, he via via, both he and he, meaning the daughter herself, the in this case, the Yavama herself, and her father could accept Kiddushin Maimar. If you're going to tell me that it's Bal Karcha, even in Gerushin, according to Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yehuda maintains that despite the fact that it's Bal Karcha, Ein Shtei Yodayim Zochos Ka'achas. And the Gemara responds and defends Reish Lakish's understanding of this price, Ahoil Uzkuka Viomedes. since she's already partially married, so to speak, through the death of her husband, she becomes, there's a zika between her, the Yavama, and her Yavam. The Kiddushei Maimar are not really effectuating some sort of brand new kinyan that starts from zero, from scratch, but rather it's just a gemar, it's a completion of the kinyan of her late husband. Therefore, even she herself can receive the Kiddushin to sort of move the Zika a little bit forward. If, on the other hand, a man is Mekadish and Isha from scratch, a new, brand new Kiddushin, then she, the Nara, has no Yad to be Mekabel HaKiddushin without the father's agreement. And how much more so in the case of Get? And even in the case of Kiddushin, and the Chiddush is Get. Oh, so now that we explained the fundamental difference between Gerushin and Kiddushin in the case of Maimar, that in Kiddushin, in Maimar, there's Kuka of Omedes. Is this far meaningful according to Reish Lakish, but only according to Reish Lakish, or is it meaningful even according to Rabbi Yochanan, v'hashta the Yosu Lahachi? Now that we've established that as a result of the Zkuk of Omedes Svara, Maimar is different than Kiddushin, and she, the Bas, the Almana, can receive her own Kiddushin, is Rabbi Yochanan Nami lo tikshi loch meikara? We can go back to the original question that forced us to reject the first explanation, of Rabbi Yochanan's distinction between Gerushin and Kiddushin, was that Kiddushin is mafkas atzma mirshus ha'av, and therefore even the Chachamim would have to agree that she does not have a yad to be mekabelas kiddusher, to remove herself, or she's on the way to remove herself from the yad, the reshus of the father. And we slug that up from the fact that Maimar works to be mafkas her from reshus her father, even without her father's knowledge, when she accepts the Maimar. And maybe we can answer that shiny Maimar is different, holds kukav omedes. We use the same svar of Reish Lakish for Rabbi Yochanan, who will be able to resurrect the first explanation of Rabbi Yochanan, and the distinction between the conscience between Gittin and Kiddushin is because in Gerushin she comes back into the Shus of the Father. Again, she's only a Murasa, she's a Naram Murasa. Whereas in the case of Kiddushin, she begins to leave the Rishus of her father. I have a kash from Maimar. Maimar is different because Kuka Velmedes. Now the Gemara goes back to our Mishnah to ask a kash on Reish Lakish. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Yish Mekadish is Bitokshi Nara. Bo Ubishlucho La. Tiyufta de Reish Lakish. The Mishnah assumes that when a man marries off his daughter, he can accept the Kiddushin personally, or he can do it through a shliach, but it doesn't say a word about ba'u b'shlucha, about the fact that she, the bas, or her shliach, can accept Kiddushin. And that omission is pretty high profile. It's pretty obvious. And that's a real contradiction to Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, again, we could have guessed, Ha'anami Rabbi Yehudi, that our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehudi. Einochinami, the Chachamim would hold, just as they do in Get, that she, the Bas, has her own independent Yad to be Mekabel HaKiddushin. And it would have said here, Ba'u B'shlucha, but since the Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, therefore Ba'u B'shlucha is omitted. So the Gemara is not happy with that. V'chi motzis mukmas la kirab Yehuda. Is it possible to assume that the Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda? This Mishnah, which is at the beginning of our parakah, Mem Aleph, continues on Daf Mem Vav. And that's the Sefer of this Mishnah. And that's going to reflect a Shita that's antithetical to Rabbi Yehuda. We cannot maintain a consistency here and say that the Reisha is Rabbi Yehuda and the Sefer is Rabbi Yehuda. The Sefer, in fact, undermines the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And this will require of us to learn almost an entirely new sugya. That's going to take us to the bottom of Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. And this is a question when a man does an action over and over again, whether we can unite and identify and integrate all these parts into one whole. And we're going to see it in Shmua, we're going to see it in Kiddushin. What's the case? Let's say a man gives a woman Kiddushin and it's less than a Shava Pruta. And then he gives her Kiddushin again, and each Kiddushin that he gives her is less than a Shava Pruta. Can we integrate all these Kiddushins into one in order to validate one Kiddushin? And the truth is that there are variables that will kick in here in terms of the way exactly he did this and what language he used. So let's read the Mishnah on Daf Mem Vav and Aleph, as quoted here. The Sefer of our Mishnah here at the beginning of Ishma Kaddish. Omer li Isha, his Kadshi li Bismara zo. He gives her a fruit, in this case a date. And now he gives her a second date, his Kadshi li Bazo. Now please accept this Tamar as Kiddushin. Now, if we want to vote in favor of validating this Kiddushin, let's assume that each Tamar is worth less than a Shavu Pruta, then what we'd want to do, of course, is to integrate these two Tamarim into one Maisa Kiddushin, two actions into one action. But at this point, the Mishnah establishes, no, that we need, in order to validate the Kiddushin, we're going to require that one of the two Tamarim has a Shavu Pruta. If not, she's not Mekudeshes, because he said his Kachili Bazu, right? His Kachili Bazu, that's a separate Maisa Nesina, independent of the other Nesina. And we have no ability to integrate these two Tmarim into one Maisa Nesina in order to arrive at a Shava Pruta V'Amrinon. And the Gemara analyzes this opinion, this halachic decision, and asks Mantana, who is the author of this Mishnah, whose shita is reflected in this halachic decision as formulated by the Mishnah? His kachi, and this is how the Gemara formulates the definition of this shita, that you cannot integrate the two Tamarim into one, because he said his Kachi twice. One is Kachi on one Tamar, and one on another Tamar. And that itself separates the two Maisa Kiddushins and wedges between them in such a way that if neither of the two Tamarim have a Shava Pruta, then the Kiddushin is invalid. You cannot integrate the two. However, in contrast, had he said to her, not his kachi, but his kachi li bazu ubazu, with this tamar and another tamar, that would certainly be one maisa kedushin, which would be valid if there's a shava pruta in the combined value of the two tamarim. The Omar Rabba, this opinion, the mechanics of his kachi, as opposed to bazu bazu, is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Now, in order to understand Rabbi Shimon, we're going to have to learn another sugya. But it's the same sugya, according to the Gemara's analogy, but offhand it's a different sugya. And we're talking about a case where a shomer receives a pikadon, an object to watch. He's the custodian over the object. And there are five different tovim in this scenario. Tovea means the one who's demanding that the object be returned. So it means that five people together gave a pikadon into the yad of the shomer. And here we have a parsha called Shvuas HaPikadon, which generates, if it's a false oath, an asham gzela. What are we talking about? When I have the right to be tovea you, you can deny my claim, that's fine, and you have to support that claim, that denial, the counterclaim, with a shvuah. So in this case, I come to you and I say, return my object. You are a shomer, I gave you, I delivered into your hands an object. You deny it, you say, I don't have your object. And you took a shvuah to that effect. Now, if it turns out that that shvuah was a false oath, let's say you yourself did tshuva and you want to admit, what did I do? Then are you chayav a karbon, what's called a karbon hasham gzelos, or not? So if Shimon is of the opinion that you'll only be chayav a karbon shvuah, an hasham gzelos, ad sheyomar shvuah lechol echad v'echad. Okay. Now there's the two possible ways in which you formulate your shvuah. Either you say shvuah she'ein lecha biyadai. You, meaning Berzon, you don't have anything in my hands. And then you turn to so-and-so and you say v'ein lecha v'lo lecha. So in such a case, if you did not mention a lashon shvuah with regard to both this one, that one, and the other one, all these different tovim, then you're chayev only for one carbon shvuah. Why? Because since you said shvuah lo lecha v'lo lecha, that's like the case of hiskachili bazu bazu, and you're only chayev one carbon shvuah. We integrate all the different counterclaims, right, the denials, into one shvuah. And would he be chayav a shvuah to each one of these tovim? That would only be in a case where he took a shvuah by mentioning the word shvuah multiple times, shvuah lechol echad v'echad. Now, by analogy, Rabbi Shimon's logic would apply to Kiddushin. And again, if he said his kachili once, and he gave a many tomorrow, we can integrate them into one Maisa Kiddushin to create a Shavu Pruta. But if, on the other hand, he said his kachili, and again his kachili, each Nesina is a separate, independent Nesina, and the Kiddushin would only be valid, as we said earlier, if and when there is a Shavu Pruta in any single Tamar that he gave her. So now we see that the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, and you cannot, therefore, Reish Lakish, hide behind Rabbi Yehuda and say that the Tana of Mishnah that excludes Har Yad from Kabbalah's Kiddushin represents Rabbi Yehuda of Ein Shtei Yodayim Zochos Kiachas. V'chi tema kula Rabbi Yehudahi u'bifrate savar la Rabbi Shimon. You could, of course, l'chora defend Reish Lakish and argue that the Mishnah is Enoch Inami authored by Rabbi Yehuda, but he happens to agree with Rabbi Shimon that if there was a separate hiskachi, that wedges between one Maisa Kedushin and the other. And the Gemara rejects that by saying, Umi Savrla. How could it be possible to argue that Rabbi Yehuda accepts Rabbi Shimon? I can prove to you from a brisa that Rabbi Yehuda rejects Rabbi Shimon. But Tanya, we learned in a brisa, we're back to Shvuas HaPikadon. Zeh HaKlal. This is first the opinion of Rabbi Meir. We're going to see the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon later on in this brisa. Eino chayav ela achas. Klal. What does this mean, klal? Zeh klal, klal. If the shomer somehow integrates all of the tovim in one shvuah, he takes one shvuah against all of those who are claiming, give me back my pikadon, he denies all of them at once in one shvuah, he's only chayav one karbon. But parat if he takes a shvua for each one of them, chayav al kol achas v'achas, divrei Rabbi Meir. If he specifies shvua to this one, shvua to that one, then each word shvua is going to engender a separate chiyuv karban shvua. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shvua lo lecha, lo lecha, lo lecha, is chayav al kol achas v'achas. What does that mean? He uses the word shvua only once, and yet, says Rabbi Yehuda, he's going to be chayav al kol achas v'achas. Why? Because he says lo lecha, lo lecha, lo lecha, and that separates the various tviyos of Ruvein, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, whatever it is. Why? Because he didn't say lo lecha u lecha. He left out the vav, and that's considered a deliberate omission on his part. If he would have said lo lecha ve lo lecha, that would integrate all the tviyos into one shvua. But when he says lo lecha, lo lecha, lo lecha, it means shvua lo lecha, shvua lo lecha, shvua lo lecha, and therefore he's chayav a shvua, a carbon shvua for each one of these shvuas, because the lo lecha, lo lecha, lo lecha, lo lecha, without the vav to be mechaber them, is a separation and engenders multiple shvuas. So again, if he would say shvua lo lecha v'lo lecha with the additional vav, then he would be integrating the two tefillos into one shvua, and he only be chayv one karban, because that language is indicative of chibur, of integration. He's being kolel all of them into a shvua, and therefore there's only one shvua. But if he says lo lecha without the vav, then basically he's like repeating the word shvua, shvua lo lecha, shvua lo lecha, shvua lo lecha, and he's chayv for each tovea a separate carbon shvua. Now we have the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, lo lecha, lo lecha, lo lecha, v'lo lecha, shvua, is chayev al kol achas v'achas. In other words, since he uses two different languages, on the one hand he says lo lecha, lo lecha, lo lecha, without a vav, is that indicates that he's separating each tovea and each tvi into a separate shvua, and he's chayav for each one of them. And then when he says v'lo lecha with a vav at the end, that's already a brand new shvua. And the reason for this is because he adds the word shvua at the end. And since he adds the shvua at the end, that indicates that every lecha is a separate shvua. If he had said shvua at the beginning of his formulation, beginning of his sentence, and then he would explain what's the substance of my shvua, who am I including in the shvua, that would be one shvua for all of them. But if he uses the word shvua at the end, then we are kolel, we integrate all the tovim into one. I'm sorry. If he said shvua at the beginning, then we integrate all the tovim into one shvua. If he said shvua at the end, then he's responding with multiple shvuos to each one of the tovim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, li olameinu chayv ad shiyomar shvua l'chol echad v'echad. According to Rabbi Shimon, and this we've seen in the past, Rabbi Shimon insists that in order to set up individual separate shvuos and separate chiyuvei karban shvua, you need the word shvua to be repeated over and over again. It's got to be shvua lo lecha, shvua lo lecha, etc. If he doesn't use the word shvua for each one of them, then automatically, says Reb Shimon, I insist that he can only be chayev one karban as one shvua. And it doesn't matter whether he said the word shvua at the beginning, whether he said Shvuah at the end, whether he said Lolecha, Vilolecha, with the Vav that would integrate them. According to Reb Shimon, all that we care about is the word Shvuah. Did he repeat the word Shvuah? Now we see clearly from this Brisa that with regard to these Klal and Prats and so forth and so on, Reb Yehuda does not accept the Shita Reb Shimon. And therefore the Mishnah, the Sefer of our Mishnah, namely the Hiskadshi Hiskadshi, where she is Mekudeshes and we integrate the Tamar and it's half of Pruta with the other Tamar and it's half Pruta, that's only in a case of it, where he says his kachi once, but if he says his kachi is kachi, then automatically we separate the two Maisa Kedushins, and we require a Shava Prut in each Tamar. So that clearly indicates that our Mishnah is authored and reflects the Shita of Reb Shimon, who says Shvuah Shvuah separates the two, and therefore our Mishnah is not authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, with regard to the Sefer, we wouldn't require Iskachi Iskachi. That's not the critical contingency here, but rather we would look for a Vav. And if we would say his kachi li bazu vi his kachi li bazu, that would be apparently enough to integrate the two. And well, the Gemara answers again to defend Reish Lakish, kula Rav Shimoni ubishlichus savrala kirabi Yehuda. Let's do it the other way around. Let's say the Mishnah is authored by Rav Shimon, and therefore, in the Sefer, it all depends if he repeated the word Iskachi or he did not repeat the word Iskachi. That's going to determine whether we integrate all the Tamarim into a Shava Pruta. But in the case of the Reisha of Shlichus, he, Reb Shimon, happens to accept the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that Ein Shtei Yodayim Zochos Kachas. And therefore, the Mishnah says, Avia Mekacha Bo Ubishlucho. And the Mishnah omits Ba Ubishlucha, because she cannot be Mekabel Kedushin since she's in the Rishus of her father. V'ein Shtei Yadayim Zochos Ka'achas. How do we paskin in the Machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Rav Asi Lo Ol Lebei Midrasha. On a particular day, Rav Asi was absent from the Beis Medrash. Ashkechai Ashkei l'Rav Zera. So Rav Asi meets Rabbi Zera on that day. Omar le, Rav Asi turns to Rav Zera and asks, "My Omar in the Beit Midrasha, can you tell me what the Chachamim were Machadish in the Beit Midrash today?" Omar le, Rav Zera says, "Afanolo ayel, I too was not in the Beit Midrash. I was absent today, but nevertheless, Rabbi Ovin, who the Eli heard something about what was discussed in the Beis Medrash from Rabbi Ovin, because Rabbi Ovin, he was in the Beis Medrash." Now, again, you get the impression that Rav Asi would rely on Rav Zera to test, so to speak, his testimony about what he heard in the Beis Medrash would be reliable, and we could paskin any halacha that Rav Zera reports and transmits from what he personally heard in the Beis Medrash. But, you know, in this case, Reb Zera cannot testify firsthand. He wasn't there either. So we have to rely on Rabbi Ovin. The question is, Rabbi Ovin, is he reliable in this case? But in any event, Omar, Rabbi Ovin told me, Reb Zera says, Chavrusa Kula. Chavrusa Kula means it was a unanimous decision of all the groups in the Beis Medrash, Ki Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Yochanan, who maintains that although in Gerushin the Chachamim hold that she, the Nara, can accept her get even without her father's knowledge, but in Kedushin the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Yehuda's position that only the father could receive her Kedushin, but not her. V'tzavach Reish Lakish, This is all part of the testimony of Rabbi Avin. Reish Lakish started going ballistic. Kikruchia is the name of a certain bird that makes a loud noise. And it's called an augur. And he was yelling and screaming. V'yotza v'oisa. What about the famous Gzeirah Shava between Kiddushin and Gerushin that allows us to compare Kiddushin to Gerushin? Hukash Havaya Liyatsiya. In the same pasuk it says, V'yotza mi'beisa v'holcha v'oisa li'sacher. V'lekin la'adashkachbei. And nobody was paying any attention to him. In other words, the principle is that when there's a logical justification to apply the hekesh of v'yotzeh v'ha'isa, then we will do so. But if there's a logical distinction between gerushin and kedushin, we're not going to apply the principle of hukah shafayah liyitzia. In gerushin, which is bal karcha, it makes sense that she can be mekabel ha'kedushin. But the Chacham would agree that in Kiddushin, which is only midata or mafkas atzvi mirushus avia, it would not be meaningful or the halacha would not recognize her ability to accept her own Kiddushin against her father's will. So again, yes, there's a hekesh avayalitzi, granted, but the parameters, the extent of that hekesh, is limited by a logical similarity between the two. If get is going in one direction and kedushin in the opposite direction, we're not going to make, you know, equations. Amale, so Reb Zeira is a little bit skeptical here. I'm sorry. Reb Asi is a little bit skeptical, and he turns to Reb Zeira and he asks Reb Zeira the following. Rabbi Ovin Bar Samcha Hu, you know, in order to report what halacha you heard was up kapaskin in the base measures, you have to be a Bar Samcha. You have to have a great memory. You have to have a clarity of thought. That makes you reliable. And Rav Asi was not sure about the status of Rabbi Ovin. You know, Rabbi Zeira is quoting Rabbi Ovin, but does that satisfy Rav Asi? Amalei, so Reb Zeira turns to Reb Asi and he says, in this case, for sure, we can rely on him. I'm not willing to sign the dotted line that, the status of Rabbi Ovin is absolutely reliable, but in this case, for sure, kimin yama litigni hu. This is Aramaic, but the idiomatic expression is to say that, you know, he walked out of the base measures. He told us exactly what he heard 5 minutes earlier. You know, it's not like, you know, he's not an imbecile. Even if he's not the greatest Bar Samcha, he can tell you what he just heard. What's the mashal here? A man goes fishing and he takes out of the water a fish, and he had already prepared the grill right next to the water, and the fire is burning, and he takes the fish out of the water and immediately puts it into the grill. And that's an idiotic expression to say that, you know, I caught Rabbi Zeira says, I caught Rabbi Ovin immediately in his, you know, as he steps out of the base medrash, he told me what he heard. Anybody would be able to remember what they just had heard. There was no time that elapsed that would allow him to forget what he heard. So therefore we could rely on him. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Ana Lo Rabbi Ovin Rabbi Chia Velo Rabbi Ovin Bar Kahana Eli Rabbi Ovin Stam. He says that there are a number of different rabbis with the same name, Rabbi Ovin. There's Rabbi Ovin, the son of Rabbi Chia. There's Rabbi Ovin, the son of Kahana. And then there's somebody that we call Rabbi Ovin. We don't mention, you know, he says, I'm not sure, he says, which Rabbi Ovin this whole story is referring to. L'may nafkemina, what difference it make, which Rabbi Yochanan is it? The Gemara says, L'mirma didei adidei. If we ever would have a kasha from another statement of Rabbi Yochanan, would that be a contradiction? Would it be a valid stira? Well, if I don't know which Rabbi Yochanan is, then such a stira would not be a valid question. But in any event, as it comes out, the shita of the Chachamim is that a nara, while she cannot accept her kiddushin, if we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, because her father has the yad, but she can accept her get, even though the father is alive and well. And now the Gemara wants to know, this is going to be Rav's suffek, and he's going to turn to Rav Nachman for an answer. What exactly is the status of the Bas herself, the Mekudeshes, vis-a-vis Kabbalas HaGet? Is it a primary kind of Yad or a secondary Yad? Boy Minei Rava Mirav Nachman. Here we're turning to Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Nara Mau Shetase. Instead of the word Tase, you can substitute the word Timne. She appoints Mau Shetase Shliach LeKabbal Gita Miad Bail. Can she appoint a Shliach as a Shliach Kabbalah to accept the get from her husband's yad? In other words, it's one thing to say that Venosim Biyada, she has a yad when she personally receives the get, but does she have powers over this Maisa Gerishin, Maisa Kabbalah Saget, to appoint a Shliach to replace her? And now Rava analyzes the different sides of this suffix. Kiyada Viyadamya. Shall we assume that Venosan Viyada gives her a yad just like her father? It's an independent, original yad, and therefore she can appoint the shliach to be mekabel again on her behalf. Oh, kechatzar avia damya, that she's really accepting the get on behalf of her father. Meaning, just like when you give a get to a woman, you could put it into a chatzar. That's the extension, the domain, the extension of her yad. So too, the bas is the extension of the yad of her father. But it's really the father who's being mekabel the kiddushin. Her yad is like a chatzar, the father. If we say, ki yad avia, dam yo mali avia, ma avia mashve shliach, af hi nami mashve, mashve yo shliach, o dilma ke chatzar avia dam yo, via dematia gita li yod lo megarsha. Shall we say that she has an independent yad, and just like the father can appoint the shliach for kabbalas haget, so too she can? Or should we say she is only the chatzar of her father? When the get reaches her yad, it's reached, in effect, the chatzar of her father, but she doesn't have any primary yad here in order to appoint a shliach to replace her for kabbalas haget. The Gemara now questions that really is a true transmission. Umi misafkalei l'Rava ha, is it really true that was the suffolk? That was the issue that Rava vacillated about. V'amar Rava, Rava himself stated, Kasav get unison of yad avda, yashen umishamarto, hareza get, niar eno get. If a person gives a get into the hands of her evet, which means, although she's married in Mashakana, Ishakana Baila, but if she brought into the marriage an evet, she owns the evet, right? It's, we'll call it Nichsei Malug, it's the Baal has rights to use the evet, but the evet primarily is hers. And therefore, can we view the evet when the get is given and delivered into the hands of the evet as if it reached her hands? He's the extension, like the chatzer of the isha, and it all depends, says Rava. If the eved is awake, then insofar as he's an intelligent being, he's a bar das, he doesn't serve as a chatzer of the isha. If he's sleeping, then the woman herself could oversee the Evid, so to speak, while he's asleep, and she's watching him, and watching there for the get. In regards to Chatzers, Halach of Chatzer, Hamish Tameris, that's a sugyan in the first parak of Mitzia, is the Eved called a Chatzah Mishtameres? Midas Aisha. It all depends. If he's awake, you know, he could just pick up the get and run away with it. And therefore, she cannot achieve Shmira on the get. If, on the other hand, well, let's say Shmira on the Eved, as to make the Eved into a Chatzah Mishtameres Midaita. If, on the other hand, he's asleep, that's a different story. Niyar Amayin Oget, says the Gemara, and analyzes the Havi Lei Chatzah Mishtameres Shalo Ledaita. He has his own independent das, this Eved, and therefore she cannot watch and oversee the Eved. And that's why she's not Kona. If Rava indeed had a possibility of saying that in the case of a Nara who has a father who's alive and well, she, the Bas herself, is a Chatzar Avia, is Kimota Gita Liyada Nami Lotagosh. Even if the get was delivered into our hands, and you want to say that she functions as the Chatzar of Avia, that makes no sense. Havilei Chatzah Mishtameres Shelo L'das Avia. She's a bar das, she's already a naira. And, you know, it's not like she's tied up or she's sleeping, so the father is not able to be mishamer her and convert her into a chatzah mishtameres. Rava never questions that the get could be delivered into the hands of the isha v'nasan biyada, according to the chachamim. And therefore, it cannot be that she functions as a chatzah, the father. El Eliolam, Shitalei, the Gemara fine-tunes Rava's suffix. Shitalei, the Chiyad of Yadamya. Rava knew very well that she has a yad. She's not an extension of the father as a functioning as a chatzir. V'achi kami b'ale mi'alima kiyad avil shavi shliach olo. When the Torah added her yad, is it upgrading her yad to an equal status of that of her father? And the Chacham hold shtei yadayim zochos kiachas in the case of Gerushin. Or do we say no, she still remains secondary? The primary yad is the father. He has a total, complete yad to be mekabel hagerush, and he can therefore appoint a shliach, but she has an inferior, incomplete yad, and therefore she doesn't have the power to appoint a shliach. Amalei, Rav Nachman responded to Rava, Ein osa shliach. Her power, her yad in Kabbalah Saget, is inferior to that of, it's secondary to that of the father, therefore she does not have the ability to create a shliach. Later on we'll see that this is a matter of controversy. But be that as it may, Rav Nachman's opinion is that no, she cannot appoint a shliach. Her koach is not as great as that of the father. Now, Esve, Rava is going to turn back to Rav Nachman with a question from a Mishnah in Gittin. The Mishnah would seem to undermine the conclusion of Rav Nachman, the response of Rav Nachman. Ktana Sha'omra Hiskabli Li Giti Eino Get. The Ktana appointed a shliach to receive the get on her behalf. It's not valid. Achi Agia Get Li Yoda. And this is all in the case of Ktana. The get has to be delivered into her hands. And obviously, she as a Ktana does not have the ability to appoint a shliach. And that's exactly the principle that underlies this Mishnah. Ad she agia get liyada. However, her naira, from the fact that the Mishnah limits its principle, its negative principle, of Hafkas Shlichus Lekabal's get to the case of Ktana Nara, implying very strongly that had she been a Nara, she was already 12, and she had appointed a Shliach as Kabli Ligiti, Hareza get, the get would be valid. Comes along Rav Nachman, he says, Hachamai Eskina, what is the Mishnah addressing? B'shein La'av. Her father died. And the Tana wants to be mechadish here, that even though she has no reshus of the father. Nevertheless, again in the case of Ketana, she cannot appoint a shliach. Who's stopping her from appointing a shliach? The answer is, it has nothing to do with the father stopping her and blocking her, you know, because his yad overpowers her, but hers. Rather, it's because she doesn't have das to appoint a shliach. But in the case of a nara, there, if there's no father to block her yad, she, the nara herself, the bas herself, becomes an absolute primary yad, lekabolas haget, and therefore she can appoint a shliach. The Gemara is not happy with this answer. Hamidik tani sefer, the sefer says im omar, and here's a question of girsa, but let's assume we leave out the word lo, im omar avia, if her father said to the ketana, say vekabel get lebiti, I'm sorry, if the father said to the shliach, say v'kabel get lebiti, im rotza baal lachzer bo lo yachzer. In other words, once the get is delivered into the hands of the shliach, the get and the gerushin is complete, is clinched, and the shliach, once he receives the get, clinches the gerushin lo yachzer, the baal cannot say, well, you know what, I decided not to deliver the get. But we see clearly that from the Sefer, we're talking about a case where the father is alive. I mean, he appointed a shliach, Michal Dereisha B'diyesh La'avas Kinon. How can you tell me that we're talking about a case where there is no father? The Gemara answers, Kisui Mechstra. Enochinami, the Reish is talking about a case where there is no father, Hachitani. Ketana, who has no father, Sha'amra is kabali giti eno get. She cannot appoint a shliach for her kabbalas get. Ashi gi get liyada because a ketana cannot create a shliach. Ha naira hareze get a naira whose father died and there's no yad that's blocking her yad and there's no problem of das hareze get. She can appoint a shliach to receive her get. And then we say b'med var mamurim kishen la av avol yesh la av yomer. Avia tsei v'kabel l'biti gita v'rotza ba'al lachzor lo yachzir. If she has a father and the father tells the shliach to receive a get on her behalf, that shlichus is valid. Once the get is delivered into the hands of the shliach, there's no backing down, there's no turning back. The gerushin is complete. But in the case where she has a father, there, she, the Nara itself, would not be able to appoint a shliach. Now the Gemara wants to know, what's the status of a ketana who received kiddushin from a mekadesh and the father's unaware of it? Can we assume that maybe the father will agree? Itmar. Ketana shenis kadsha shalola das avia. Now, the father in this case, when he heard about it, he said nothing. He was silent. And we don't know if his silence should be interpreted as an agreement or not. Is Omar Shmuel tzricha get utzricha miun? In this scenario, she needs both a get and miun. In other words, Shmuel says we have to be concerned with the possibility that her father, with his silence, indicates his agreement and therefore the kedushin is valid. Therefore, she needs a get. And tzricha miun, she also has to, this ketana has to reject her husband, so to speak. Omar Karna is one of the chachamim of the Talmud, who is a contemporary of Rav and Shmuel. He says, Dvarim bego? Question mark. It's a rhetorical question. Does it make any sense, this statement of Shmuel? Im get, lama miun. Im meun, lama get. In other words, it can't be both. If you're telling me that, in effect, we're worried about the facts, that we're worried about the shtikas av, and maybe we can interpret it as an agreement, and if we need a get, because the kedushin achal, why do you require meun? Meun is only relevant to Kedushei Derabbanan, not to Kedushei Torah. And if, on the other hand, you need Meun, which means that on a Daraisa level there is no requirement, we aren't validating the Kiddushin. Islam a get, so why do you require a get? If you want to say the Rabbanan recognized this as a possible Kiddushin, and therefore they required Meun, then you're implying that the Torah does not recognize this Kiddushin, and therefore why do you require a get? Amrulay, the Chachamim, responded in order to defend Shmuel against the onslaught of Karna, Ha Mar Ukva Ubeidina Bekafri. Mar Ukva is the Av Bezdin in the city, in the Bezdin, the city of Kafri, which is very close by. Let's go and find out, you know, what he can tell us from his Bezdin, or what his opinion would be. And what happened was, they sent the question over to Mar Ukva and Afchua. They changed the names of who holds what. In other words, they switched around Karna and Shmuel. And it was Shmuel, in their version, who responded to Karna with that question. Shadrul Akame Rav, and then the question was sent over to Rav. And you get the impression that at the end they never sent the question to Bar Ukva, even though that was the original intention, but in any event, somehow, again, there's a long discussion how this happens, but the question came to the, or was sent to the attention of Rav. Now keep in mind, Rav is a great admirer of Shmuel. And when they sent the question, they were afraid to send it in such a way that Kilu Shmuel had said something that's illogical, that has a built-in contradiction to it. So they would rather do it in a way in which it would sound like Shmuel was denying the possibility that you could require both a get and a miyam, because that's a tarti de sasrei. Amalahu. Now, in effect, what we're going to have is that Rav is going to attack Shmuel, but really he's defending Shmuel because they switched the names around. Amalahu, Rav said to those who asked the question, Ha Elo Kim, which is a language of Shmuel, is Tzricha Get Utzricha Miun. It's absolutely compelling and logical that we require both Get and Miun. And if Shmuel attacked that, then Chasle Lizari di Abba Bar Abba Dinemahachi. The Chalil of Achas, we would say that Shmuel, who's called Abba Bar Abba, actually Abba Bar Abba is the father of Shmuel, what we call Avua de Shmuel, but he's saying that Zare di Abba Bar Abba, the son of Abba de Shmuel, meaning Shmuel, Chas V'Shol would say such a thing, in Get Lama Miun. Mean lama v'mean lama get lama, because according to Rav, it's absolutely compelling that we require both get and miyun at the same time. The time of my, what's the logic of Rav, which is really originally the logic of Shmuel, is Amar Avacha Bered Rav Ika Tzricha Get Shem Nisratz Av B'Kedushin. That much we understood. That if the father, through his silence, is indicating that he was satisfied with the Kedushin, then we need a get to be Matar She's an Eshazish. But you know what? We're not sure. We're not really certain that the father really agrees to this Kedushin, and therefore the Kedushin is valid. And if we're going to require get, and only get, the impression is going to be sent out that the get is absolutely valid because the Kedushin were absolutely valid, and those are Kedushi Torah. It's Tricha Miyun. We need the Miyun to indicate that Shem alone is Raks of the Kedushin. If it's only me and Rabbanan, it means on a Daraisa level the message is clear that this is not valid Kiddushin. And without this get, I'm sorry, without the miyun, if we would only rely on get alone, Yomru, Ein Kiddushin Tosin Be'achosa. If we don't indicate through the miyun that the possibility exists that this Kiddushin is not valid, and if the impression therefore would be based on the get that the Kiddushin is valid, then if the Megaresh goes ahead and he marries the sister of his Megureshes, and assuming that his ex-wife is still alive, then Achos Ishto is an Iser Kores Doraisa, an Erev Doraisa, and the Kedushin are not Tovsim, then the second Kedushin will be absolutely invalidated because, wait, he just gave a get to her sister. How could he be marrying the other sister? He gave a get to Rachel. He can't be married to Leah because Ein Kedushin Tovsim Bachos Ishto Bechayeah. And now we're going to say that this Leah could go free without a get. So the Chachamim wanted to make a heker. They wanted to make it absolutely clear that the get is only a get mitzad safek, that we really don't know whether the Kedushin is valid, and therefore they required miyun. Now the Gemara goes back to this principle of Rav and Shmuel to require both get and miyun, and really raise a serious possibility, a serious chashash, that the Kedushin are valid, that when this Ketana received Kedushin Shalom Midas Aviyah, and he heard about it, he was silent, that maybe his silence indicates that he's accepting, he's approving the marriage. For who, Amar Rav Nachman, who shidchu. That only makes sense, that possibility of requiring get mitzad something, that maybe the Kedushin are valid, in a case where this man and this woman had shidduchim between them. In other words, the father had already discussed with this Makadish the possibility of that marriage happening. And, you know, the father's initiative in discussing this possibility is indicative of the fact that he's happy with this Makadish marrying his daughter. And therefore, when he heard that the Kedusha were delivered to his daughter, and he was silent about it, then we have reason to believe that perhaps his silence is a further validation of the original Shidduchim, namely, that he in fact gave his Askama, and he really wants to approve of this marriage, because there was Shidduchim. There's like circumstantial evidence that indicates that the Shtika was an agreement, an approval, a Haskama of the father. But if there was no Shidduchim beforehand, then there would be no requirement of a get at all. There wouldn't be even a Safek Kedushin Ula Omar Afilu Meun Einot Sricha. Ula said it in a way that he seems to be disagreeing with Rav and Shmuel, and he says that, you know what, you Rav and Shmuel required both get and miun. I'm going to go a step further and say that even miun she doesn't require. There's no germ of a Safek Kedushin over here. No latest asafik whatsoever. Now, wait a second. Rav Nachman just finished saying that Rav and Shmuel were talking about a case of shidchu. Ula is going to tell you that even though there were shidduchim, nevertheless, there's not even a chashash kedushin. How could that be? Frekta Gemara, afal gav de shidchu. If we accept Rav Nachman's qualification, interpretation of Rav and Shmuel, then Ula's disagreement with Rav and Shmuel would indicate that even though, despite the fact that there was Shidduchim, there's no Chashash Kedushin. The Gemara answers, Man de Masni Ha, Lo Masni Ha. There's a technical foul over here, a technical error. That opinion amongst the Amoraim that quoted Ula as if he was arguing with Rav and Shmuel, that person was not aware, he was not working within the framework of Rav Nachman's qualification of Rav and Shmuel. Meaning, if Ula in fact is arguing with Rav and Shmuel, it's impossible to say that he's arguing the case where there was Shidduchim. There, for sure, you would need a get and miyun, and Ula would not question that. But rather, that Amora, who was quoting Ula as disagreeing with Rav and Shmuel, he understood the machlokes between Ula and Rav and Shmuel was the case where there was no Kiddushin. He understood that Rav and Shmuel, not like Rav Nachman, went out on a limb as far as to say that we need a get and miyun, even though, despite the fact that there was no Shidduchim. And then Ula qualifies and says there's no need for get and Ula, a get or miyun, because there was no prior Shidduchim. But again, that man, the Omer, who says that Ula is arguing with Rav and Shmuel, he never had Rav Nachman's qualification of Rav and Shmuel to say that it was Dafka Shashidchu. Ika di Amri, the Gemara has a different lashon of ula. Amar ula ktanu sheniskat shelo ledas aviha is afilu miyuneinu tzricha. Now, in this lishna basra of ula, ula made the statement independent of Rav and Shmuel, and therefore you get the impression that it's an unqualified statement that ktanu sheniskat shelo ledas aviha never, ever requires a get or miyun. That's according to Ula, means there's no Chashash Kedushin, and it would seem to be so even in a case of Shidchu. And again, that's a very difficult position to accept, but nevertheless, that would seem to be, according to Sikha D'Amri, the position of Ula. And Ula's statement, Eina Tzricha Lo Miyun V'Lo Get, that's even in a case where there were Shidduchim prior to that. Tosus is not willing to accept this pshat. That's Tosus Dirimaskel Man. He disagrees with the pshat that we presented, which is Rashi's pshat. There's no way, no possibility that Ula could say that even in the case of Shidduchim, there's no chashash kedusha. For Tosus insists that even according to Lishna Basra, when Ula stated that even miyun is not required, that has to be a case of lo shidcho. Shidcho, for sure, you would need a get and miyun. So there's no difference, ledina, between the first lishna of Ula and the second lishna of Ula. The only difference between the two lishonos is how Ula understood Rav and Shmuel. So Rabosai, we are really, in a sense, stopping in the middle of a sugya here, but, you know, time has gone by. We're going to start Bli Neder tomorrow with Masiv Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana is going to attack the principle of Ula. So Bli Neder, as an introduction to tomorrow's Shia, will review the statement of Ula that if a Katana receives Kedushin Shalom Midas Ha'av, such a kedushin is absolutely invalid. There's no requirement even of miyun. And then we'll understand, Bli Neder, the attack of Rav Kahana against Ula from the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Yevamos.